The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
What a whirlwind. 72 hours. What a flip by Drew Brees. What a change by the NFL. How much is real? How much is sincere? How much is simply public relations? Forget corporations, for individuals as well. How much do you believe? And how much is for show? I have a question today that I think begins the search for answers to those questions. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And as it has been for the last several weeks, this is an open forum. You and me working through it all together at 888-729-3776 on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Coming up on today's show, Major League Baseball and its players still seem far apart. Major League Baseball may come back in 2020, but at the minimum possible offering we could get. Plus, if you'll hang in another 15 minutes or so, I have a show announcement that I'd like to share with you. I hope, as you have been for the last several years, you'll be here with me for the next 15 minutes that we can talk through our future together. That's all coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Last Friday, after we left the airwaves, President Donald Trump once again tweeted about Drew Brees and whether or not players should stand for the national anthem and the American flag. In response to that, Drew Brees himself posted on Instagram a long message saying, no, it's not about the flag. This is about something more. This is about listening, and this is about Black Lives Mattering. Drew Brees with a direct rebuttal to President Trump. And then, roughly in that same time frame, not long after, some dozen-plus NFL stars recorded a video saying the same thing, that Black Lives Matter. Did the NFL itself cut a video where Commissioner Roger Goodell said this?
It has been a difficult time for our country, in particular, Black people in our country. First, my condolences to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and all the families who have endured police brutality. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of Black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe Black Lives Matter. I personally protest with you and want to be part of the much-needed change in this country. Without Black players, there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of Black players, coaches, fans, and staff. We are listening. I am listening. And I will be reaching out to players who have raised their voices and others on how we can improve and go forward for a better and more united NFL family.
That was Commissioner Roger Goodell towards the beginning of this past weekend. After that, for what it's worth, Drew Brees' wife issued a third apology for the couple. And I have to tell you, this is where I am. It's something I battle. How much of what is happening represents real progress? And how skeptical should I be of everyone and their motives? I mean that at an individual and a corporate level. How much of this is issued from a corporate PR department? How much of it is easy because it seems like this is the way the quote-unquote market is moving? Whether or not it's the NFL or other corporate entities, is this a real change in belief or is this the current fad? I wonder the same about, honestly, my fellow man, individuals. I look at their posts on Instagram, I look at their hashtags, and I wonder, is your life really changed? Are your actions different? Or are your social media posts all that has changed in your life? I wonder this, and I don't say that proudly because I don't want to be a cynic. I don't want to be skeptical. But the realist in me always asks this question. It's what I pride the show on. Let's be real. What is real? What is authentic? And I pride myself on someone who wants to elevate actions and not crush people for words. So let me ask a simple question that I think can begin the conversation about how much of this is real. It's a question that maybe I'll get crushed for because I think some mouth breathers in there out there might think it's self-evident, might think the answer is obvious. But if you will, walk through this with me for a moment. What does it mean, what you heard from Commissioner Goodell? What does it mean you see on every placard? What does it mean you hear in the NFL players' videos on social media? What does it mean to say Black Lives Matter? Again, I know many are going to reflexively say that's self-evident, Will. It's obvious. But what does it mean to you? Because my sense of it is that if you put 100 people in a room, you might get 100 different answers. And if that's the case, what I worry is we won't find real progress. We may not even try to find real progress. What we might end up with is a short-lived social media post or PR campaign. If we can't answer what it means, we won't know who is, quote, an ally and who is an enemy. If we can't answer specifically what it means, then what is everyone in the streets to accomplish? Number one, looking at my options, I say it's a general admonishment, Will, of racism. It's a saying that suggests, of course, Black lives are important and matter to this world. And it is a rejection of racism as a whole. This seems like a logical answer. And in fact, if I put 100 people in a room, I think the majority would say that's what it means to them. And it explains why there's protests over the weekend in places like London and Germany and in France, who don't have our shared history, nor our shared policies. So it can't be, as you watch people in Bristol, England, or London, England, or Munich, Germany, it can't be for something more specific because they don't share those specificities with us. It is a general rejection of racism. And I think that's good. I do. I think that in and of itself can mark progress because I do believe that racism is an individual disease. I do believe it's an individual problem that is solved one by one with hearts. And whether or not this is a good thing or a bad thing, but hearts are often changed by what is fashionable. We'll have to ask ourselves if that lasts. But I do believe we can accomplish change through a changing of hearts because I believe racism at its core is a problem of the heart. But I also don't think that's where it ends, and I don't think many would suggest it does end as a general rejection of racism. I could play you sound bites. I have sound bites from everybody across ESPN airwaves about what needs to be the next steps, greater diversity in NFL hiring, perhaps players kneeling. I could play you sound bites from Stephen A. Smith. I could play you sound bites from Ryan Clark suggesting owners need to do more than give lip service. So I know it has to be more than simply a rejection of racism. Is it the acknowledgement? Number two, of the existence of police brutality and the role that racism plays in the existence of police brutality. If that's the case, then I have to take everyone up on their honest, I would assume, invitation for a conversation. Because we have to talk about the statistics. We have to talk about the other factors. We have to talk about all the underlying causes, and we have to narrow down how much race is the culprit in disproportionate effects in our society of everything from poverty to education to police brutality. But that has to be a conversation of specificity. Number three is a general rejection of quote-unquote systemic racism. I would need someone to define that down to its specifics once again. Or number four, is it a political agenda? Because Black Lives Matter does have an organized body. And is it signing up when we say this for everything on that platform? Is it defund the police? Is it a rejection of charter schools? Is it a rejection of these political causes that fall under the umbrella of the political group that is Black Lives Matter proper? See, I'm asking what we mean because I think what we mean matters because I don't think real progress will come without that definition. I think we'll be in an ever-spinning cycle of fighting each other, over defining progress, over the existence of racism, of outing those who are at the moment because of a childish tweet or because of real, ugly, deep, sinful racism. We will be in this cycle, and I'm afraid without this conversation, without that answer, without knowing what we're doing, it will not add up to progress. It will add up to press releases and social media posts. It will be the corporate and individual version of a life of words and not actions. So I ask you, 888-729-3776, to start this conversation and hopefully move towards what progress we can agree on. What does it mean? That's my opening take, brought to you by My Computer Career, Training for a Better Life. I think that will tell us whether or not apologies are meant or have been browbeat into people. It will tell us whether or not the NFL will make changes and what changes those might be. And it will tell us who is sincere, who is real, and who's here for the hashtag. Coming up, an announcement about this show. I hope you'll hang in because I want to talk to you about the future. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
This is Will Cain.
What's up, Eric?
Usually I don't agree with you, but you're making great points today.
How are you finding yourself disagreeing with me 99% of the time?
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just how you are.
Coming up a little bit later in the show, Lewis Riddick's going to join us on the Shell Pinzo Performance Line. Plus, we'll talk about what's keeping Major League Baseball from coming back and how big a risk are they running. The owners are going to win. They're going to get their season. It may be a minimum number of games, but the league could be doing real damage to its long-term future. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I imagine it won't come as a surprise to many that are listening, but you always over-index who's on social media and who's keeping up with the rumor mill in the news cycle. But this has been hanging out there for, well, a couple of months now. And so it's time for me to address with you my future, the future of the Will Cain Show and my future at ESPN. So I haven't wanted to talk about this for a couple of reasons. A, because it had been very premature most of the time, and B, because I didn't really want to face reality. Because I love the Will Cain Show, I love everybody on this show, and I love the people that listen to this show, even those of you that hate me. This past weekend, I was telling Nuno, Mike A, and Bubba and the boys that I got a DM from a guy who listens to the show. Black guy, disagrees with me, big fan, but just doesn't understand how I could come at some of these issues the way I come at them. He left me his phone number, and he asked me to call him, and I did. I called him, I don't know why, because his notes, his DMs just hit me just right, because I wanted to talk about these issues, because I care about these issues, whether or not somebody wants to yell racist at me, and I care about the people that listen to this show. It's a real commitment on both of our part. Trust me, it's a real commitment to do 3 hours of solo radio every day. It is the hardest thing to do in media. I've seen others talk about it, and I know firmly that it's true. I mean, there are people that turn the mic button on and just go, and there are people that take this job seriously. I'd like to think I'm the second, because we owe something to you. But I'll promise you this, as far as this industry is concerned, that's a rare approach. It truly is. But I appreciate the relationship we have because it's a commitment on your part as well. You give me time. You invest your thoughts, your minds, and sometimes your hearts in the relationship that we have even distantly through speakers, earphones, car radios, whatever it may be. So I tell you that because I just want to tell you how much this relationship that we have, and I don't know who you are. Some of you I do, and some of you, of course, I don't, as you sit there and listen. But this has meant the world to me. The Will Cain Show will come to an end on ESPN Radio at the end of June. I will be moving on from ESPN. There have been various news reports, none of them confirmed, over the last couple of months. I'm not yet prepared to talk to you about what I'm going to do next, where I'm going to go next. I do have a future that is lined up. I am excited about what my future holds, and I am also sad, very sad, that all of this is coming to an end, because I think every one of these guys on this show can attest to this. I poured my heart and soul into it. Not just like on a pre-show, how much work did I put into a basis, but bearing my thoughts. I just cared, man, and I do care, and I will care. I'll care for the next 3 weeks as we hang out. So, here's what I'll ask of you. Over the next 3 weeks, today, and for the rest of my career, quite honestly, I will ask you to stay with me. I'm not closing doors. I'm opening them. Some people have guessed I'm leaving sports. I won't be leaving sports. I'm not closing that door. I'm only opening more doors because I think there's more. I think there's more to this business. I think there's more to this conversation. I think there's more to this world for us to talk about. And my favorite thing about this show is that we have done that together. It's not an echo chamber. You can tell if you listen to the show. It's not a bunch of people who agree with each other. And so what I'm going to ask of you is join me on my social media, which I do not enjoy that greatly. Will Cain on Twitter, see Will Cain on Instagram. Join me wherever I end up. Join me in continuing this conversation, keeping me accountable. I've had Nuno. I've had Cerruti. I've had Pat. To some extent, Bubba and Mike A. They'll know why I'm saying to some extent. Keep me accountable on a day-to-day basis. Tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me what I'm missing. But I've had you mostly on the phone lines, on my social media. I do not believe my future will be one written where everybody around me will be one that I agree with. And I'm going to ask you, not just out of craven audience building, but from my, and I hope your, mental and spiritual growth to keep holding me accountable. That's what I want. I think it's what you want too. I think it's why most of you listen to the Will Cain Show. I want to say this about ESPN. I've loved it. Every minute of it. I've loved it. Even when it was hard and you're by yourself, or when everybody thought you were wrong, or when it was fun, the way sports is supposed to be, I've loved every minute of it. And I do love ESPN. But the Will Cain Show on ESPN, as I said, will come to an end at the end of June. And I hope you'll hang out for the next 3 weeks and stay in touch with me about what will come next. We're going to live it up over the next 3 weeks. We're going to have quizzes. We're going to play butt hurt. We're going to have serious conversations about race. And I'm going to tell you over and over that Dak Prescott is a top five quarterback in this league and the Dallas Cowboys are going to win a Super Bowl. It just may be when I'm not at ESPN when it happens. But we're going to have fun in all those ways together over the next 3 weeks and into the coming years. My phone lines are lit up. I asked you a question I think leads us down a path of progress. 888-729-3776. I hope you'll join me on that conversation and keep hanging out with me here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Louis Riddick is coming up next.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
What will Major League Baseball season look like when it comes back? We're going to check in on that. Plus, I'm going to take your calls at 888-729-3776 coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. We're midway through our weekend homework. Tomorrow, we're going to review best school movies. On Friday, we drafted. And if you didn't write them down then, it is a contest between Dazed and Confused, which I nominated, Animal House, which Bubba nominated, Good Will Hunting from Mike A., School of Rock from Pat, and Old School from Nuno. That's what we're making our way through, and we'll vote tomorrow on the worst and best here on the Will Cain Show. We should be joined by ESPN NFL front office insider Lewis Riddick coming up in just a moment on the show. But let me take a quick call. Let me go to Tim in Minnesota. What's up, Tim? You're on the Will Cain Show.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, I'm really disappointed about the show ending. I'm a big fan of Le Batard in the morning. I have to admit that that's my favorite. But I really love listening to your show in the afternoon and pointing out different kind of views of things and letting people speak their minds. But that said, I just I hope you enjoy being Dak Prescott's agent going forward.
Tim, I appreciate the call. You have figured me out. That you have figured out what the next move for Will Cain will be. I am going to officially be registering as an NFL agent and representing Dak Prescott in his ongoing contract negotiations and ascendancy into the best quarterback in NFL history. That is not what I'm going to be doing next. But that's a good one, Tim. I appreciate you so much. Still waiting on Lewis Riddick. The guys are going to let me know when he comes in. Until then, let me hear from Janice in Tennessee. What's up, Janice?
Hey, Will. I just wanted to let you know that my heart hurts so much right now. You have gotten me through the worst year of my life. I lost my dad last year, and I look forward just to hearing you and watching you. My husband says that the Will Cain Show is like permanently embedded into my television because I just keep that on for 3 hours. And I'm going to miss you a lot. You really have, you've made me really happy for a while, and I want to thank you for that.
Oh, Janice, that means a lot to me. Thank you. I'm really sorry for the year you've had, and I really appreciate essentially getting to create this relationship with you and everyone else listening. I tell you, I don't take it lightly. And, you know, maybe it doesn't have to be the end. Maybe we can keep hanging out and finding other ways to keep this conversation going. I appreciate the call, Janice, and I appreciate your support of this show over the last 2.5 years and hopefully over the next 3 weeks as well. I asked a question a little bit earlier, one I think that's essential to moving towards progress. It's odd because by asking this question, some people think I'm spinning the wheels backwards. I'm standing in the way. I'm putting mud in the road of progress to bog everyone down. I just see the world exactly the opposite. I asked, what does it mean when everyone says Black Lives Matter? I know for many, it's self-evident, but I think it's important to define. Otherwise, we won't be able to tell who's just posting on social media and who's really about it in this life. Andre in Massachusetts. What's up, Andre?
How you doing? Well, thanks for taking my call. First and foremost, I want to wish you fairly well on your next adventure. Enjoy the show, the perspective, the angle, so on and forth. So you do an outstanding job yourself and the team. No doubt you guys are going to have bright futures going forward, but first and foremost, fairly well. Second, to your point, I was just listening to the intro, and I just want to make it clear that, you know, African-Americans are not a monolithic group, just like any other demographic. So, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, and the energy and enthusiasm that they've captured that's really just gone international, they're at the forefront. But in terms of how you looked at the various opinions within ESPN of your colleagues, that's true, you know, just in America. You know, so for me, what I've learned is I'm a little bit older now. You know, I'm kind of in my late 30s versus in my early 20s, you know, looking at these issues. So my perspective has changed. But to the point, you know, when I – what the movement means for me is the 14th Amendment. Okay, that's the equal application of the Constitution for all. That's the foundation, and it's social justice that I'm really clamoring for and hoping for. And yes, of course, for the African-American community in particular, but not alone, okay, sum up the application of the law. It's just not equal. You know, our Constitution, the Ninth Amendment, outlawing cruel and unusual punishment, okay? The law, as it relates to African-Americans, too often it's unusual. The same crime and how it is adjudicated. This is what we're talking about in the 80s. Spike Lee, Ava DuVernay, her outstanding work, 13th. Why is cocaine criminalized differently in urban areas versus suburban areas? Again, mass incarceration. Barack Obama, first American president to visit a federal penitentiary. Mm-hmm. Why, when crime has not increased, has expenses towards crime gone up by tens of billions of dollars?
Right.
You know, so these type of matters, when we talk about systematic racism and you know, in terms of hiring practices, so on and forth, that your colleagues have looked at, that's what it means to me. But what I'm learning is I'm a little bit older, and so it doesn't unfortunately affect me as viscerally as it did during my college years. And I'm so thankful, even though it's not always right in terms of the reaction from the younger people, that energy and momentum is what has pushed this conversation in conclusion to the point where the Minnesota City Council said, listen, we are dismantling the police and we are going to build up a public safety system in a more adequate, equitable fashion.
I got you, Andre. I appreciate the call. And I think that is very illustrative. 2 points I want to follow up on you made. Number one, it's absolutely true that there are varied opinions within the African American community. And I think this debate flattens not just everyone, but every contour of our society. It turns everything into black and white and turns everything into a monolithic approach. And it's so counterproductive because it's the exact opposite of what we should be embracing, which is the idea of individualism. The idea that human beings, regardless of skin color or geographic upbringing, or sexuality or gender, can have their own character and ideas and should be judged and heard on that level. Second, Andre told me what BLM means to him, and it took on a very political nature. Some of which, by the way, I would, if pressed, agree with, and some of which I would disagree with. And that is, in a way, my point. Because when we say Black Lives Matter, we should know, are we signing up for all the same things? Am I signing up for your political agenda and every single thing that follows within? Or is it a general rejection of racism? I really think that's a conversation we have to have. Jordan, Texas, you're on the Will Cain Show.
Hey, Will, I just want to say, man, I'm hurt that you're leaving. You're the only person on all of ESPN that I've found that actually wants to dive into the who's, what's, and the whys of this whole movement. As far as what it means to me, I would say that it's the rejection of racism. But I think that when people go into the systemic, I think that they're just pulling from what they feel and not from the statistics. When you look at the police, and just in 2019, they killed 1,004 people, fatally shot them. 235 of them were African American, which, yes, they make up 30% of the population, so I'd be higher. But if you look at the numbers for the crimes, they made 53% of known homicide offenders, 6% of robberies, and they're just 13% of the population. 9 unarmed black people were killed, which, yes, my heart goes out to them, but 19 of them were white. I think the Black Lives Movement, to me, Black Lives Matter movement means to me, is more like when Jesus leaves the 99 to find the one. I see that there are problems. Yes, 9 people were killed fatally, but when people go into the political agenda, I don't think I can go that far, because the police officers today have one of the hardest jobs ever, to make an on-the-spot decision of what's right by the law and what you view as dangerous, and you're making an on-the-spot call every second whenever you leave and you go out for the job. I don't follow the political agenda, and when you look at the systemic part, it holds no water.
All right, Jordan, I appreciate the call. The point of you going through the statistics, or why anyone would, is because you have to ferret out how much racism plays a role in the numbers and the police interactions, and I'm sure it does in a lot of ways, but how much other factors as well play a role. If you really want to seek solutions, you really have to narrow in on the causes. I think it's important to find out exactly what we all mean, and here's why I think it's important, because at some point we'll all be asking the same of each other. We'll be monitoring each other's social media posts, or we'll be saying who's kneeling and who is not, and we're going to have to ask ourselves, what do those symbols mean? What do those actions mean? That's why I begin this conversation today, because I promise you this, we'll end up in the same place, and it may not be in 5-year cycles the way it has been in the last 5 years. Maybe it will be in 6-month cycles, but it will be because we are way more interested in looking like good people than being good people. Way more interested in being companies that go with the flow rather than go with what is right. So ask ourselves today, what is it? What is it we are all signing up for? I'll keep that conversation going with you. Plus, Lewis Riddick will be next on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is Will Cain.
Jerry in New Jersey. What's up, Jerry?
This is just making me sick.
That accent? Are you doing that?
Well, this is how I talk.
Go on.
Okay, so let me finish.
I'm going to let you finish.
You make me sick.
More from Will Cain coming up.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too. So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at Napa Online, you can count on Napa know-how.
Hey, up on ESPN.com, they did a redraft of the entire league, 4 rounds, just put the whole league up for draft. And a lot of people are upset, oh, why would you do this, why would you do that? I actually think there's some interesting takeaways that reveal probably some biases we have. I'm not talking about racial biases. I'm talking about positional and youth biases we have in real football, not just fictional football. We'll get to that coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Joining me now on the phone lines is ESPN's NFL front office insider, Lewis Riddick. What's up, Lou?
Will, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Hey, let's talk about the 2020 NFL season. What do you think is going to go down this year? Do you think, A, players will be kneeling and protesting more often? Do you think, B, owners will join them? Do you think, C, the commissioner will join them? What do you think is going to happen in 2020?
Yeah, I'll take it in that order. Look, I think players for sure will be making sure they will do everything they can to make sure that the conversation continues and that it doesn't just fall by the wayside as far as their fight for social justice, you know, police reform. I think they want to keep that in the forefront of people's minds because it's something that they are passionate about. So I think you will see more kneeling, and you will see it peacefully. You'll see it respectfully. You'll see them want to just keep that conversation going. I think you'll definitely see the commissioner join in with them. I think he pretty much has alluded to the fact that he is someone who right now wants to change the way in which people perceive his support of the players, and he wants to be active in doing so. Now, as far as the owners are concerned, I think you see them slowly but surely making more and more statements about their willingness to support their players and however they want to peacefully protest. I believe the Bidwell family in Arizona just released a statement today, I believe it was, or recently. And I think you're going to see that coming out more and more. So I think, look, I mean, not that I think, I mean, I know it's a different environment now. I think people, the conversation has been started. The conversation is expanding. People feel much safer, for lack of a better word, to really express themselves without the fear or the same amount of fear of it becoming, you know, and Jay Williams used this word today, this description today, with the fear of having it become politicized and weaponized the way it was before. And that really shut some people down and shut the conversation down and kind of really hijacked the conversation in a way that it should have never been. And I don't think that'll happen now. And that's why I think you will see people be much more demonstrative in terms of their action, Will. And at least I hope that's the case because it's needed.
Do you think it will go the other way? Now, let me explain, Lewis. You and I have had a lot of open conversations on race and its different impacts on society and the NFL. I've had the conversation today on The Will Cain Show about the meaning of the term Black Lives Matter, what it means, how many different interpretations can be packed into that from by the way, a political agenda, meaning there is one under that banner, but also a more generic term of a rejection of racism. And then the spectrum in between, right? But, you know, as we've had this conversation over the last couple of weeks, Lewis, I've heard this said, I think maybe you might have said it. I don't have the sound for sure, but, you know, silence is complicity. Or we need allies, and if you are not doing anything, then you are not just not an ally, but it's, I don't know that you've said this, but I'm now paraphrasing a general consensus or a point of view, that then you're working against it. I'm curious, Lewis, do you think, because it can mean so many different things, the protest, players could make choices, white and black, by the way, to not kneel, and then that would be received by their fellow players as not being an ally, and, I mean, in worst cases, as being someone who is working against the movement, will there be judgment of those not kneeling?
No, you know what? I that's a great question, and I don't believe that there will. Because, look, I think ultimately, look, there were players before, white and black, who didn't kneel, but they also understood that the players that were kneeling were not doing so as, you know, as a way to show disrespect to the flag and what the people who fought for, you know, the ideals that are supposed to be attached to the flag, they weren't trying to show disrespect to that. It really was about using that as a vehicle to kind of draw attention to what they wanted to draw attention to. So players, there were players who didn't kneel who were still behind the whole fight for social justice. There were. So, I mean, so I don't think if you don't kneel that necessarily has to mean that. It doesn't. And quite honestly, look, I'm one of those people who is much more about action than about talk. I'm much more about impact than about statements. So I think that's where, you know, see, right now it's easy for everyone to feel as though they're doing something right now by making statements. And honestly, I mean, there have been people, it seems like there has been a race to make a contest to make the most dramatic statement sometimes. And that's not to say that they aren't authentic, but that's what's happening right now. I think action is what's more important, more so than anything right now, because that's really what's going to make a difference.
I totally agree. I totally agree, Lewis. I want to live in a world where people are judged by their actions, not their symbols or their words. And I just think that's the path to a better world. Lewis, I always appreciate you having on. We're tight on time today, but thanks for hopping on with us.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, it's ESPN NFL Front Office Insider Lewis Riddick here on the Will Cain Show. I do think that's a pertinent question. I do wonder, will we move that way? If you're not kneeling, you're not an ally. I'll keep taking your calls, 888-729-3776. Plus, let's do this draft thing.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.